You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant presented by the Kings of Sport.
All right, Tracy, down to you.
So, Peyton, is this your final game for your career?
You know, I'll take some time to reflect. I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go kiss my wife and my kids. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight, Tracy. I promise you that.
Traditional, metaphorically medicinal. Two navishable decibel peaks be my ritual. One condition, though, we're laying on like a municipal. Lyrics and ritual, we're pumping Buddha, get your boo, and I'ma do the opposite of peace and go to war. So, go prepare your balls for the floor show. Every more so, I'm your corporal, rather resourceful. Ripping rappers from their dome piece to their torso. No remorse for imitators, my crew be innovators, paying homage as well as returning favors. Learning flavors from the path papers. Now, Ozo Motley be making new hits from past me to take it. It's a Super Bowl Sunday. Hey. It's a Super Bowl Sunday. Hey.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. This is a special Royal Rant Super Bowl 50 edition of the Kings of Sports. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, not in L.A. this week, but in Atlanta, Marcus. Boy, that Super Bowl was dull. Vanderberg, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate?
I'm good, my friend. Real quick, before we get into the topics of the day, how are you in Atlanta, the city of my birth? I heard it wasn't as sunshiny as you would have hoped, but how are things down there?
I've got some observations for you from my 8 hours in Atlanta so far.
Is one of them Atlanta is like the blackest city in the world?
I mean, it's black like D.C., where, you know, you have your black people, but you also have your white people. So that's one observation. Second observation, marijuana. I got my rental car, smelled like weed. I walked down to the CNN Center, passed a dude smoking the joint. Went to Zaxby's for dinner. Dudes in front of me smell like weed. What's up with marijuana in Atlanta? Is this a thing? I come from California. I come from a pretty liberal state for marijuana, but I feel like it's taking over.
Hey, in the words of Big Boy from Outkast, you know, they just like smoking that gas out by the pool.
Yeah, and the other thing you mentioned, black people, they seem to be very friendly. I was walking back, and this dude just stopped me in the street, and he's like, what do you do? And I was like, yeah, I work for Yahoo. And he goes, yeah, he sort of had that IT swag. And I was like, IT swag? What does that mean? So then we started walking back up the street, up like probably Peachtree, because there's a bunch of peach trees around here. And yeah. He was just telling me about how he went to school to study like IT, and there's no jobs out here for what he wants to do, and blah 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 blah. And I was like, yeah.
Which is why the man was smoking weed on the corner. It's assault out there.
Yeah. So those are my early observations from Atlanta. And on top of that, it's cold. So.
Yeah, it's funny because Atlanta usually is pretty moderate in terms of weather, but It's been a cold winter thus far for the good people down there.
Yeah, we had some snow. It didn't stick or anything, but, you know, I think the fact that snow falling from the sky sort of freaks out people down here. So there wasn't much traffic out, actually.
Okay, well, we all glad you made it down there safely, brother. But as I mentioned off the top, we got a lot to talk about on this Royal Rant. Of course, we have to give our thoughts on the big game, Super Bowl 50. We have to give our thoughts on your girl Beyonce at the halftime show, maybe some of the ads that we saw. And of course, you know, we've got to get into the political debate that is tearing apart the very fabric of this country. And it seems you're either on one side or the other, and there's no room for rational, reasonable people in the middle. And of course, with Cam Newton and how people feel about Cam, we're going to get into that. And maybe we'll close things off with some Daniel Bryan.
That works.
All right. So let's start with the Super Bowl. And Marcus, if you will, I'm going to set up the big game because I think I can recap the game, not in 30 seconds, not in 60 seconds, but I think I can recap the game in 7 Earth, Wind, and Fire songs.
Ooh, okay.
In honor of the late, great Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire, who passed away this past week at the age of 74, I think I can sum up Super Bowl 50 with 7 Earth, Wind, and Fire titles.
All right.
So first of all, Super Bowl 50, a lot of hype, a lot of pomp and circumstance. You could say, Marcus, that it was a fantasy matchup.
Ooh.
Featuring Cam Newton and Peyton Manning, two of the shining stars of the league. Cam Newton wanting his first title. Peyton Manning wanting to presumably end his career with a ring. Looking at that Lombardi trophy like, got to get you into my life. But as we all know, things don't always work out the way you plan. Sometimes real life intrudes. And you know what, Marcus? That's the way of the world. And so Cam faced a lot of scrutiny. And the media had a love-hate affair with Cam all weekend. And now people are wondering what Cam Newton is going to do after the love is gone. And I think right now he needs to get away and focus on next year and come back ready to play in September.
Woo!
How'd that work for you?
I wonder how many of our white listeners are trying to like identify the songs from that that message.
Yeah, I think they knew September and Shining Star.
Yeah. not two of their best songs, by the way.
No, two of the most popular by far, but like I love some of the deeper Earth, Wind, and Fire cuts.
Yeah. They're like Cool in the Game with actual talent. I don't like Cool in the Gang.
You said Cool in the Gang with skills?
Yes.
Poor Cool in the Gang. And there's like 50 people in Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That too. And actually, both groups is a bunch of people.
Yeah. But yeah, I like now this. It's sad because, you know, Maurice, like he wasn't touring with the band for the longest time. I think like he stopped touring in the mid-90s.
Yeah,
but he was still involved with them. But now it's like I think the only original members left are Philip Bailey and Verdeen, Maurice's brother. With
Verdeen,
the
man, that hair.
Yeah, that hair. Like, Verdeen ain't going nowhere.
Nope.
Verdeen is gonna outlive all of us. So yeah, shout out to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and rest in peace to Maurice White. But Marcus, Super Bowl 50. A lot of hype, a lot of consternation going into this game, a lot of storylines being laid out by the media and by the fans. And at the end of the day, I hate to go to the old cliche, but defense wins championships, and defense certainly told the story in this game as the Broncos defeated the Panthers 24-10.
Yeah, I mean, sort of like 3 years ago with Denver and Seattle. Seattle's defense overwhelmed Denver, and it was very much the case this year where Denver's defense overwhelmed Cam Newton and Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, only difference is at least in that Seattle game, we had plenty of offense.
Yeah, the Denver offense.
My man Peyton was out there like you've seen Major League. I know it's one of the few movies you've watched. Peyton Manning was out there like your man, the old junk ball pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing left, Skip, but I think I got enough to get this one out. Like, Peyton was out there, like, my man Kubiak wasn't even trying anymore. Like, in the second half on third downs, he was like, nah, I don't care if it's third and two, third and nine, third and 15. We're just going to run it, punt it, give it to the defense.
I thought for sure that they were so conservative, I thought for sure Carolina was going to steal that game because they weren't even letting Peyton throw. They were just milking the clock.
Like, it's a testament to that defense. And shout out to Wade Phillips, who literally came in off the street and restructured that defense. But, man, like, Carolina was stifled all game long. I mean, yeah, there were a couple of drops here. You know, you live by the gin, you die by the gin. But Cam just never looked like he got set from play one. Like, it never felt like Cam was in a position where he was able to go out there and be Cam Newton that we've seen all season. And you got to give credit to that, primarily to Von Miller, who ended up being the MVP of the game, and DeMarcus Ware. Like, they were in that backfield all game long.
Yeah, I think it was last week we talked about inaccurate Cam and how, despite the great season in the MVP, his biggest flaw was he's still not an accurate quarterback. And, yes, his receivers dropped a lot of balls, including Jericho Cotchery, who dropped, I believe, three passes at least.
Yeah, one of those was a catch, though. One of those that was
incomplete. he got robbed of one.
But, like, I think they just did that so they could make fun of Mike Carey. They was like, we know it's a catch, but we know Carey's going to say it's a catch, so we're going to say it's incomplete.
You notice how Mike Carey got one shot, and that was it. After he he never came back.
they were treating Mike Carey like Kubiak was treating Peyton Manning in the passing game. Like, nah, Mike, I'm good.
Yeah, so, and that was Cam's biggest flaw, his biggest flaw in his career, and it was really exposed against this Denver defense. And part of that might just be Denver being great. Part of that might be Carolina's schedule, where it was pretty soft throughout the year. So I'm not sure how many times Cam has faced an elite defense this season off the top of my head, maybe outside of Seattle. But, yeah, it showed.
Seattle, he shredded Seattle, and he shredded Arizona in the conference championship, and they were a stout defense.
Yeah. He lost Corey Brown, I believe, in the either late third quarter or early fourth quarter of the concussion. He had Jonathan Stewart, who was also banged up during that game. And I think one of the other weaknesses for that Carolina offense is they don't really have a guy out the backfield who can catch the ball. I think that's sort of to dump out to the running back is sort of a strategy that teams sort of rely on when they can't get the ball downfield. But the Carolina running backs aren't really built for that type of football. So Cam could even rely on just a 2-yard dump out to the running back and see if he can generate.
Like, this would have been a great spot for D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
Even though he's 65 years old, like, they could have used D'Angelo Williams in this game.
They could have, especially with D'Angelo this year. I mean, just imagine if they had D'Angelo of 2015 plus Jonathan Stewart. They would have been unstoppable.
Well, that was the thing when Carolina, because a lot of people were comparing this Carolina team to the team that went to the Super Bowl previously. And I was like, you know, even though Cam is the MVP of the league, I think overall – that Carolina offense was probably better in terms of skill position players, particularly with the running backs.
Was that Jake Delhomme?
They had Jake Delhomme, they had Steven Davis, and they had Deshaun Foster. That's who they had back there in the backfield.
Okay.
So they had Davis, they had Foster, Mushin Muhammad when he was still something. And you, if you want to really tie things together, we know that they had this year's version of the Panthers had Greg Olsen, who was a great wide receiver slash tight end. Do you remember the great, in quotes, wide receiver from that first iteration of the Panthers going to the Super Bowl?
What year was this?
This was 03. And he was a position coach with the Panthers this past season.
Ooh.
Currently the wide receivers coach for the Carolina Panthers.
Wide receiver, Carolina. I'm stumped. Who is it?
Ricky Prohl.
Oh, man.
<That's>... Ricky Prohl, who is 47 years old.
He's got one of those names that you'd assume that he's black.
Like, is it? Am I remembering correctly, Mark Prohl on Tecmo Super Bowl? Is that how long Ricky was in the league? I want to say he was on Tecmo Super Bowl with the Cardinals.
Let's see.
He was taken in the third round of the 1990 NFL draft by the Cardinals.
Yep.
Ricky Prohl, all the way from Tecmo Super Bowl to the actual Super Bowl twice, and he's a two-time loser.
On the Bronx, all right. New Yorker.
So that is your common thread between the 2003 Carolina Panthers and the 2015 Panthers squad. But let's talk about the winners, Marcus, because we'll have plenty of time to talk about the losers. Your man, Peyton Manning, 13 for 23, 141 yards. Not a great day. C.J. Anderson really didn't get a whole lot going on the ground. It was a very pedestrian outing by the offense. But if you're looking for that quote-unquote game manager, that's what Peyton Manning and those guys did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad that people aren't giving credit to Peyton over the defense to win for the Super Bowl win, because it was Peyton really didn't do much. In fact, I mean, I really thought he was going to hurt them at some point. Since Carolina's offense was so bothered by Denver, I thought for sure maybe their defense would get a pitch sits and take the lead that way. But this was not Peyton's game. I think Peyton realizes that. I think Peyton realizes that his career is over and it'll be a matter of time before he retires officially. But I know you wanted him to get the win and all. I'm glad he won for you, but that boy, he's done, man. He's toast.
Yeah, it was either way that this game turned out, I would have been cool with the outcome. But I was happy for Peyton. I think I might have been happier for Peyton than his own brother was.
Eli.
Like, what's up with your boy?
I mean, it's just Eli face.
So you think there was no ulterior motives? It was just that's just his normal face.
That's his brother. I mean, come on.
But I think it was a good endpoint on Peyton Manning's career. If this is the end, and I think it should be the end, I would hate to see him get all up in his feelings or in his pride and try to come back for one last season in LA. That would be terrible. He didn't do a whole hell of a lot, but he stayed out of the way. He stayed out of the way, only had the one interception, and it was a hell of an interception by the Panthers, one-handed, picking him off. It's like Peyton didn't do too much. But he did enough to not screw up. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of people like, why don't you put in Osweiler? Why? I don't know if that stage would have been too big for Brock, quite honestly, Marcus.
I think the only way we saw Brock Osweiler was if Denver was down to the last play and needed a Hail Mary, because there's no way Peyton to put the ball downfield. So I could see Brock coming in for the last play, but that's it.
Yeah. So he's got the future ahead of him, but I thought it was a good way for Peyton to go out. He finally has his postseason record above 500. He's 500 in Super Bowls, and you don't have anything left to prove, man. You are, you know, wherever people want to put Peyton on their rankings, I think he's without a doubt one of the 5 or 10 best to ever play quarterback. Wherever you want to put him in on that spectrum is up to you, but I don't think he's got anything left to prove.
He's also got his 200th career win in the regular season and playoffs. So,
yeah, nice strong currently number. The leader. Eventually, it's going to get passed next season by your boy Brady. But as of right now, he's the all-time winningest quarterback in the NFL. So good for Peyton. And, I hope that he has a great walk into his golden years. He drinks a lot of Budweiser, takes some more of his wife's special medication, and eats that Papa John pizza.
That Budweiser flood was kind of weird.
Yes, it was, because it'd be one thing if he said it once, but he said it three times. I'm gonna go home and drink some Budweisers. Like, oh, okay, Peyton, are you Stone Cold Steve Austin all of a sudden?
Also, sort of kind of not allowed, because NFL players aren't allowed to endorse beer companies. So.
So yeah, you be Roger Goodell and go try to find Peyton Manning.
Well, I mean, just that's his cue that he's gonna retire. Come get me now. I'm done.
Yeah, I want Peyton to just go all the way out now. Now that it looks like it's the end, I want the real Peyton Manning. Not that he hasn't been authentic, but I think like there's a Peyton Manning in there that we haven't seen. Like there's a cocky, arrogant, smart ass Peyton Manning. I hope we get to see that dude.
Yeah, he's just a boring dude normally. Pretty dry.
Yeah.
Got a dry.
I want to see the Peyton that we get to see on Saturday Night Live whenever he shows up.
He should go back now. You would think with the Super Bowl victory, he would make an appearance between now and May whenever they're done.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I'd be down for that. Somebody who might not be down for that though, Marcus, because he'd probably get up there and start his monologue and walk off halfway, is your man Cam Newton. And I know the people were waiting for us to, you know, they knew that last week we crowned Cam the greatest black quarterback in the league with our black quarterback power rankings. And so obviously we support Cam on this particular show, but right is right and wrong is wrong. So what were your thoughts on Cam Newton's play during the game, more importantly, but then also what people are talking about, which is the lesser story in my opinion, and that's how he reacted at the press conference.
All right, so let's start with that dive in the fourth quarter. That's the fake dive.
Yes.
When I first saw the play, I was under the assumption that maybe they would call the play dead, and that was the reason why Cam hesitated. But after watching the replay, it didn't add up. So. He came out on Tuesday and said basically he did it because he was trying not to get injured. He feared he would get his leg chopped. I don't know if I buy it. I don't know why he would not dive into the pile in the first place. This could be his only shot at a championship.
Yeah.
So to not go all out when they're only down six at the time, it's kind of confusing to me, but he knows his body better than anyone else. So I don't know. It's I'm actually glad that the stuff off the field is getting more attention than that play, because I'd rather Cam have the sore loser tag than the bad teammate / selfish tag, if that makes any sense.
Right. And here's the thing, because, you know, I had a raised eyebrow when I first saw the play, because the replay makes it look very, very damning. Like he hits that Michael Jackson moonwalk when he sees, I don't know who's coming in on the ground, but also he's got a Aqib Talib coming in from the side, and Cam kind of hits that little moonwalk on him. But the more I think about it, it's like, you know what? We've seen Cam take plenty of hits before, hits that quite frankly he shouldn't take, you know. So I don't think that this is an issue of his toughness or anything like that, but I think he made a business decision. I think he said I believe him. I think he was like, you know what, if I go down here, not only, you know, are my legs vulnerable, but I got Talib, who is shown in this game already, he don't give a damn about crossing the line or stepping up to the line. And I'm going to be a sitting duck. And so I think Cam was like, you know what? Let me back on up. Let's see. Hopefully somebody in this blue jersey can recover it. But if not, you know, I'm not going to get broke up diving into this pile. I know we all want them to like, hey, this is, you got one shot. Look at Dan Marino. He never had that opportunity again. And you know, you want them to leave it all out there on the field. But at the same time, if Cam gets hurt, they're not going to win anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And so I don't think his teammates have a problem with that, because they're like, you know what? This dude is a big part of the reason why we're here in the first place. So we're not gonna question whether he wants it or not.
Yeah, I mean once Denver recovered, that pretty much still did, just Anderson scored the touchdown. But yeah, it was odd all around, and he could have addressed it on Sunday, but he decided to
he gonna make y'all wait a little bit.
Cut short the interview.
And this is when all hell broke loose. The internet went crazy. You got people, you got the Cam supporters or the Cam apologists on one side. You got the Cam haters on the other side. You got some reasonable, rational people having good discussion in the middle. And then on the very far outskirts of the social media universe, Marcus, you got Bill Romanowski out here with thinly veiled racial epithets.
Good times, fan. Bill Romanowski. Get it right.
Bill Romanowski, who said it may be the most unintentionally funny line of the year thus far on social media, Cam Newton needs to grow up and show some class. Says the man who spit on people and hit people in the balls and took performance-enhancing drugs and cussed like a sailor. That guy is the guy who was giving etiquette lessons to one Cam Newton, Marcus.
Yep. That did.
Bill Romanowski, not to mention, did you get a chance to see who was riding and co-signing Bill Romanowski?
I did not.
Oh, Rob Lowe.
Oh, I did.
Rob, DirecTV, not basic cable, Rob Lowe.
Oh, man.
Which, of course, opens up the door for people to get into Rob Lowe's past.
Yep. Don't want to go there.
Yeah, like I understand Rob Lowe. You're obviously a sports fan. You've done some commercial stuff for Fox. You do the DirecTV commercials, and you're passionate about the Super Bowl. But you got to know your own history first. You know, it's like I don't expect R. Kelly to be out here bashing Cam Newton, because people are going to be like, well, at least Cam didn't piss on people.
Yeah.
Like, you got to understand what's in your backyard before you start complaining about Cam Newton. Was it the Wayne's World movies where he kind of had his comeback? I think it might have been Wayne's World where he kind of had his first step back into the mainstream, and then, you know, people was all cool with Rob Lowe, because, you know, he went on to West Wing and stuff like that. People were like, Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob Lowe, he's all right. But all it takes, Rob, is one mistake, and people got a long memory on these internets.
Yeah. People do their doodles.
People are like, Siri, what did Rob Lowe do back in the day?
Uh-huh.
Well. But in terms of the actual story here, Marcus, because I think a lot of people, because, you know, just talking to some people at work, talking to my parents, talking to some of my neighbors, they were kind of, I don't want to say misled, because it makes it seem like this was an intentional thing, but a lot of the first sound bites and clips that people saw of this press conference after the game was just Cam sitting there looking frustrated and saying, I'm out. Like, they didn't get a chance to hear the full context of, you know, the statement about, you know, giving credit to the Broncos and saying that we didn't do what we needed to do and all that stuff. They just heard, you know, how long y'all, what else I got to do for y'all? And then him leaving. So I think that was one thing that, like, a lot of people didn't get the full story before they jumped to conclusions. But the second thing is, I think you can be at once upset with the way, or disappointed is maybe the best word, in the way Cam handled this, but still not want to go out there and try to savage this dude, which I feel like a lot of people, they were just waiting for an opportunity to kind of hop on this and pile on Cam.
Yeah, there are definitely people looking for a reason to go after him. And if it wasn't this post-game interview, it would have been the play in the fourth quarter, I think, where he didn't dive. And if he didn't have that, it would have been just his overall performance, which wasn't great. So they would have found something to attack him with.
But as a member of the media, what was your take on this whole thing, Marcus, in terms of both Cam and his actions at the press conference, but also kind of, I guess, the way they had it set up this year was a different setup than Super Bowls past?
Yeah, it was a little different. I thought when he was speaking to the media, his answers were pretty short and not revealing, which, I mean, listen, you've seen Marshawn Lynch before, not talk to the media, so that's nothing new. And when he actually walked out, no one knew at the time what it was. And then we found this. By the way, Black people cracked me up. Monday morning, people posted this video. The real reason why Cam Newton walked out, like they're Sherlock Holmes or something.
Yeah, I'm telling you, black people was up all night looking for ways to defend Cam. Like that, I made the comment during the game, like the way black folk watched, well, I ain't going to say all black folk, but the way a lot of black people watched the Super Bowl was very reminiscent to the 08 election. Just waiting on the returns for Obama.
Yeah.
Like, black people were very invested when it, like, okay, I can see with the president, like that. That actually means something. Like, yeah, it would have been cool for Cam to get a win, but at the end of the day, that doesn't change your life.
Yeah.
So unless you're a Panthers fan, like it doesn't affect you one way or the other.
Yeah, and I outside of Carolina, don't know many Carolina Panther fans. So a lot of black people fans, but not my Carolina fans.
I'm just glad my nieces went to bed early because, I didn't want them to see their hero go out like this.
They missed the ending?
Yeah, because they had a bedtime of 9:30. They got to stay up like 30 minutes later, but still, like 9:30. It was a hard 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
So they, I'm sure when they woke up, they heard the news, and it was a very sad day at the elementary school.
Yeah.
Teachers depressed, kids depressed.
Chris Harris was talking nearby during Cam's post-game interview and was discussing Cam's performance. And I guess Cam heard this and this caused him to walk out. I would rather have Cam walk out because he just felt like walking out as opposed to getting upset over what another player said about his shitty performance in the Super Bowl. Because it's not like Chris Harris was lying. Cam wasn't good.
Yeah.
So it'd be different if Chris Harris was talking or saying something that was really attacking Cam Newton's character or God forbid if Chris Harris was white and really saying something that was racial, but Chris Harris was saying everything that everyone was thinking about Cam's performance on that day. So for that reason, I was disappointed that he walked out like that. I've seen people say, oh, well, how would you react in that situation? Well, you know what? I'm not the MVP of the National Football League. And right. I think as the MVP, you are held to a bit of a different standard. And especially if you are the black MVP, who the last 2 weeks, you had all these people coming to Cam's defense about his character and who he is as a person. And for him to do that, it's sort of like, damn, we spent all this time trying to defend you. But now, you know what? You're on your own, bro. There's only so much we can do. So he looked very much like a 26-year-old in that situation. Yeah. And I think you have to take that into consideration. He is 26. And that sort
of this is a, you know, to kind of quote President Obama, this is a teachable moment.
Yeah.
This is something that hopefully he can learn from. And you know, you bring up a good point about, yes, he's the MVP. He's one of the new faces of the league. But even more important than that, Marcus, he's a quarterback. And if he were the running back, maybe we'd let him get away with this. If he were the diva wide receiver, maybe that's okay. But he's a quarterback, and there's certain fairly unfairly, there are certain expectations for the quarterback. And I think in terms of Cam that night, I was disappointed, but my only defense of Cam would have been, or would be, that if he left because he figured that discretion is the better part of valor, and I'd rather be a sore loser than to say something reckless and really start something, that's the only benefit I'll give him on that.
I would almost prefer him to, like, walk to the NFL official, whoever's doing the media stuff, and say, hey, look, like, either we got to move to this press conference or I'm leaving. But to just walk out and not even explain why.
Yeah.
That part, I think, was a bit odd.
So this brings us to the next chapter, or the latest chapter in the saga of Cam Newton. I've had this kind of bar graph all week with Cam, you know, going back to his comment a couple weeks ago in terms of, you know, people are scared of him, and then kind of walking it back, and then leading up to the Super Bowl, then the press conference, and then finally we get his statement today. And for those that haven't heard this statement or his exit interview, let the people know some of the big highlights, Marcus.
Let me pull it up because he had a great line.
And we already touched on the his rationale behind not going after the fumble.
Yeah, he gave an answer for that, and he said, "It's also on Tuesday. I've been erected to say I'm a sore loser," Newton said Tuesday as players cleaned up their lockers. Who likes to lose? You show me a good loser, and I'm going to show you a loser. It's not a popularity contest. I'm here to win football games.
Okay.
And Cam usually doesn't talk at the interviews. This is the first time in, I believe, 5 years, 4 years, he's actually spoken at this thing. So then he followed up and said, it happened in sort of response to the criticism and the interview on Sunday. I didn't want to talk to the media at the time. The truth of the matter is I really still want to talk to the media, but at the end of the day, things have to happen. I had a lot of time to go back and play everything back. I'm human. I never once said that I was perfect. I never proclaimed that I was perfect, but at the end of the day, people pick and do things of that sort. So
what did you think of that? What was your takeaway?
I think he was being honest about him being not perfect. The loser line, I get it, I guess.
I don't think that's a Cam original. I think that's a Vince Lombardi line.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe it's a Lombardi quote.
Stealing from the man.
He's remixing. He's like, I'm going to give you the ultimate football, the symbol of football for this cliche.
This isn't going to, like, damage Cam's career or his image. It's something he can actually grow and learn from.
Yeah, and to me, Marcus, like, I actually, like, it wasn't like I lost a tremendous amount of respect for Cam on Sunday night, but I did lose a little respect, but I gained respect from his comments in the exit interview because it felt like he's trying to find the balance, like, because he is very much an emotional person. He is very much someone who is authentic and he wears his heart and his emotions on his sleeve. But I don't think, like, I think at one point he was trying to be like, you know, I'll be the bad guy, but he's not that guy. Like, it'd be like when LeBron first went to Miami and he's like, I'm going to be the villain. Like, nah, y'all ain't built for that. Y'all ain't Barry Bonds. Like, that's a dude that doesn't give a damn. But Cam and LeBron, like, you could tell they have feelings. And to quote Cam's commercials, that's why they don't make Band-Aids for feelings. But I think that he's trying to find a balance between being authentic and being liked. And I don't know if that's always something that's doable, but I did respect his comments in the exit interview.
I think the light part, he's going to have to get over. And it might be better for him just to embrace being who he is. And if people don't like him, fuck him. Because I think
it's the old Allen Iverson line. Like, yeah. I've I've got, you know, a million people that hate me, but I got 10 million people that love me. And I'm going to ride with them.
Yeah, because if he spends so much time trying to be liked, I mean, no matter what he does, every little thing that he does wrong is going to be blowing up into a bigger situation. And it's just going to ultimately frustrate him in the end. So if he wants to make this heel turn right now, by all means, he can go heel. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's built for it. Like, he can't be the dude out here talking about, I don't give a damn what people think, but then handing the balls off to the little kids. Like, no, you can't be something that you're not, Cam.
I guess Hulk Hogan wasn't giving out bandanas to the kids during the Hollywood days.
The NWO.
Yeah, it doesn't happen, I guess.
Oh, man. So that's Cam. I'm sure we'll have plenty of Cam Newton conversation in this offseason as we get closer to the summertime, and we'll see. But real quick, Marcus, before we turn away from the actual game, prognostication right now. Which team do you think has the better shot of getting back to the Super Bowl next season? Do you think it is Denver with that defense, one of the best defenses we've ever seen? Or is it your reigning and defending MVP Cam Newton and these Carolina Panthers?
I think it's the Panthers. You got to remember, Carolina lost their up-and-coming wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yep.
Before the start of the season. So he will basically be a rookie next season. And based on their current receivers, they could probably go out and draft another receiver because they do need some help. Jared Kirkcaltry, God bless him, former Jet. He should not be your number two receiver. Ted Ginn should not be your number one receiver. I think Ted Ginn would make a fine number three, number four receiver, but he is very fast.
Yeah.
But there's only so much Ted Ginn can do.
Yeah, and if Ted Ginn is your third or fourth option, you got a pretty good offense.
Yeah.
But if he's your number one option, you might be in trouble.
Might be in a bit of trouble. So I think if Carolina can even maybe get another running back, because Stewart is pretty fragile. He's had a history of getting hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think Fozzie Whitaker and Mike Tolbert and Cameron Artis Payne are the ideal backups for your running back spot. So if they can come.
No, they really need that third down back like you were talking about.
They do. And I haven't paid enough attention to the draft to see who's out there that can sort of fill that spot. But that's definitely a hole for Carolina. But yeah. I think Cam will only get better. I think the defense will only improve. And I think they have a much better shot than Denver, because I think, you know, you saw with Osweiler, he was pretty up and down. And there might even be a situation where Denver has to sit down and ask itself, is Brock the quarterback of the future going forward? Or should we look at another direction, either through the draft this year or any free agents that might be out there? I mean, why not take a gamble on RG3 just to see if he can be that guy that can either push Brock during the preseason, or keep him sort of like the Redskins did, maybe not, you know, deactivate him, but have him as your number two quarterback, and if something were to happen, put him in a situation where he can come in and play. But I don't know. I wasn't sold on what Osweiler did this year. He's had all the intangibles as a quarterback in terms of the look, but in terms of performance, it wasn't great.
No, and I agree with you, though. I think Carolina's got a better shot. I think their window's a little bit more open, even though Denver's going to have that defense returning. They still got some questions on offense that they got to answer, like you alluded to. I think, you know, getting Kelvin Benjamin back for the Panthers is going to be a big help. But they've got some holes of their own. They got to shore up that offensive line because they got exposed. Granted, every week you're not going to be playing a defense as good as the Broncos or the Seahawks or the Cardinals, but they got exposed a little bit in the Super Bowl. So I think they need to shore up that offensive line and get a couple more weapons on offense. But they'll be right in the mix. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. I think it'll be, you know, Seattle, Arizona, Carolina. They'll all be in the mix next season.
And so, football right around the corner, right? Before you know it, it'll be draft time. Or actually, we've got combines first, and then the draft. And
you know, it's a year-round sport now.
Well, next year I'll be invested because the LA Rams.
With your new quarterback, Peyton Manning.
Don't say that.
That would be the greatest if Peyton's like.
That would not be the greatest.
You know what? I got one season left. No, you don't, Peyton. No, you don't.
No. No.
Oh, man. So that was Super Bowl 50. Shout out to the Broncos and Peyton Manning. And better luck next year, Cam. But you know what? Let's go from talking about a Black Panther who a lot of people felt behaved like an ass after the game to somebody that danced with the Black Panthers and showed a lot of ass in the middle of the game. How you like that segue?
Pretty good.
That's a Super Bowl worthy segue. Of course, we're talking about the halftime show, which was Coldplay and Friends. Did you get a chance to check it out? And what did you think? What were your impressions of Coldplay, Bruno Mars, and Beyonce?
Well, by Sunday afternoon, I already had an ass full of Beyonce. No pun intended. That video that came out Saturday. So
yes, yes. Yeah, now I just wish they had brought MC Hammer out there with Bruno Mars, because their set was kind of a tribute to Hammer. They were in the Bay Area. They was doing some of his dance moves. It's like, they should have had Beyonce and Bruno out there dancing, and all of a sudden, stop, Hammer time. Like, that would have been great. Just one last time, MC Hammer gets some shine.
When's the last time Hammer performed?
I don't know. He might have performed at one of the Warriors games, because he's always at the Warriors games.
Okay.
Hammer stays at the Warriors games. Hammer is all about tweeting. He has become the Clipper Darryl for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, man. I think that's a good thing, I think.
Like, MC Hammer is always at the Warriors game with his yellow jacket and his skull cap. I'm like, it's a little hot for that dog, but hey, it's Hammer. Mm. But I thought Coldplay was kind of like, the whole halftime show to me, Marcus, seemed very, very random. Coldplay was just kind of there, like they were the hosts. They set up the show with a song, and then they came back at the end with a song that wasn't really focused on them, where they showed all the highlights of the great halftime shows of Super Bowls past, excluding Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
And then you had Bruno and Beyonce as the meat in this Super Bowl sandwich, and pun definitely intended when we talk about that Beyonce meat. But it wasn't the greatest show on her in the world. Like I saw some people on Twitter, that was amazing. I was blown away by the halftime show.
Yikes. did you find it better than Katy Perry?
Oh, no. Actually, I like Katy Perry better.
Yeah.
Because not only did you have Katy Perry, but you had Missy Elliott, who also made a return to the Super Bowl this year in commercial form.
She had the AJ Styles return or debut.
Yeah, I think that'll be Missy's new gimmick. Like, every year she either pops in as a secret guest or she has a commercial for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I enjoyed Katy better. I just felt like it's been too close since we've seen Beyonce and Bruno Mars.
Both of them have been within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So I think it was okay. But yeah, I'm hoping next year they can get somebody that's really, A, is Super Bowl worthy, and B, no offense to Coldplay, but B, can carry a show on their own. Like, one guest is fine, but to get kind of upstage at your own show was really, it's like, well, what the hell we need Coldplay for?
Trying to think who is a big enough icon that they could do Super Bowl. I mean,
you know who I would love to see at the Super Bowl, but it would probably never happen.
Huh.
Kanye.
Yo, not after today. Did you see his tweet today?
Oh, what did he tweet today?
Oh. Let me pull it up real quick.
Oh, no.
We'll put segment four in this rant.
Why, Kanye? I want to see Kanye and Wiz Khalifa at next year's Super Bowl halftime.
In all caps, Bill Cosby innocent, !!
Oh, Kanye. Kanye is the worst and the best.
Yeah, so that didn't go over well. But
Bill Cosby innocent.
I don't think Kanye would be. I'm surprised Taylor Swift hasn't done it.
Yeah. That might not be a bad pick because it'd be, you could have Taylor Swift and yeah, you have to get somebody black though because that's apparently how they're booking the halftime shows now.
You know what,
like Taylor, be Taylor Swift and Wale. So
if the other person would be Rihanna.
Oh yeah. And if people was complaining about Beyonce being a little too sexy,
yeah,
they don't want none of RiRi.
Yeah, that might be the strike center.
Those conservative Republicans would be the topic of the debate. Like your man Giuliani coming out here talking about Beyonce and these Black Panthers. Like really, y'all? Like I didn't have a. Like, I didn't like the halftime show, but I ain't out here getting all political with it. Like, yeah, it's a song.
Have you seen the video?
I have not seen the video.
I have not either.
I just know that Red Lobster sales have increased because of Beyonce, apparently.
Are you a fan of Red Lobster?
Red Lobster's all right. I ain't got no problem with Red Lobster. It's not my favorite seafood place, but it's all right.
I've been a handful of times.
It's like the Applebee's of seafood. The Olive Garden of seafood.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like it's a mid-major.
Yeah, on probation.
On probation. Not anymore. And after Beyonce improved all their sales. So
if it's Valentine's Day weekend, people, don't take your girl to Red Lobster. And vice versa. Ladies, don't take your guys to Red Lobster.
No, let's say, to be fair, though, that's better than getting reservations at the Waffle House, which is a real thing.
Waffle House is up the street from me. I might have to try it for the first time.
Waffle House isn't bad. Like, it's not anything fancy, but it's not bad.
Well, this one actually looks clean. The other Waffle Houses I've seen in Florida look sketchy out on the outside. So,
hey, that's some Tiger Woods spots. That's where you find the best talent.
Perkins and Waffle House.
So that's the Super Bowl. We'll talk more football next week on the program. We can get into like the Hall of Fame class, and I'm sure we'll have more Cam Newton to talk about next week, Marcus.
Yes, indeed.
But we didn't want to end this week's show without at least talking a little bit about maybe the biggest story from the world of wrestling this week, and that was the official retirement of your man, Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. Bryan Danielson. The Yes Movement, at least in terms of an active in-ring competitor, the Yes Movement is over.
Sitting here in my Daniel Bryan t-shirt, which, if you remember the WrestleMania 30 sign, like the logo they came up with, they could play off that and the shirt says Yes Mania, and in the middle, there's a silhouette of Daniel Bryan doing the Yes motion. So, it was a surprise, but at the same time, I think a lot of us saw it coming.
Yeah.
And he tweeted Monday morning that effective immediately he was going to retire and he would explain more on Raw. As I think he said to me on Raw, so I was traveling, had early morning, so I didn't watch Raw last night, but. For everything I heard, it was a great segment, and he detailed why he's deciding to retire. I guess there's another test he took about a week and a half ago that showed some possible brain damage. And he decided, you know what, this probably isn't worth it. I got other things to focus on, like your family and kids, so let me step away while I can.
Yeah.
And at the age of 34, he's going to retire. And I would assume that he is going to not come back. I mean, it's not a situation like Edge where Edge can't come back. I mean, Daniel could come back, but at the same time, would it be worth the risk? I don't think so.
No, like I was kind of hoping that he would have one more match at Mania, maybe a tag or something where you could kind of protect him. I think that, you know, that would have been a great kind of solution that both kept him safe and also gave the fans, you know, one last chance to see him in action. But yeah, like I think that he's at a place, you know, when you get a chance to see his retirement speech, it was one of the best. I don't know if it's better than Flair, but it was up there. I think that, you know, it's funny because it's, you know, I was watching it trying not to be too cynical about this company that, you know, oh, it's fine to put this man on for ratings when you need them. But, you know, you every step of the way, even before he got hurt, you know, you were never really that invested in this dude. But I put my cynicism to the side and just enjoyed the moment. You know, they gave him about 25 minutes on TV. They overran almost 30 minutes. And, you know, it was a great night. Great, obviously, the great place to have the retirement in his hometown of Seattle. You know, he looked good. You know, he cut the beard down, cut his hair. He looked happy, and he looked like he had come to terms with things. It's sad that we probably won't get to see him wrestle again. But like I was just thinking of, just off the top of my head, like how cool would it have been if we had at Mania a tag match, AJ and Daniel Bryan versus Miz and Chris Jericho, and AJ does most of the work, but Daniel Bryan gets the hot tag at the end, does the flying knee and then the yes lock. And that's all we get. But we get this moment of him at WrestleMania. It's like, damn, they could have done something like that. But I get why they wouldn't want to. You know, if they didn't let him, you know, do stuff before now when they really needed people, you know, I don't see them backing off of their stance of not letting them participate.
Yeah, and I wonder if Daniel would want to do that because it might be too much of a tease for him to, like, do this two spots and then he has the urge again.
So he's quick cold turkey instead of...
Yeah, I mean...
Don't give him that fix again.
He's clearly a wrestling addict. And why would you give him the dope? Don't give him a little a sample, a free hit. And then after the product, nah, he's gotta walk away. He's gotta, you know, go clean. So
it was really like when you get a chance to see it, like you'll enjoy it. Like it was like I didn't cry, but I a lot of people were on social media. And they were like, man, I got tears in my eyes. And I could certainly see why. Because, you know, I was a casual Daniel Bryan fan pre-WWE. Mm-hmm. But once he got to the main roster, like I was like, man, this guy's good. He's got a future ahead of him. Unfortunately, you know, he had some moments of shine, but it wasn't what it could have been.
I still think the lead up to WrestleMania 30 was, and considering that the fans shit on it and they had to change ways, but yeah, in the end it all worked out. I think that was probably one of the best builds in terms of a storyline. I would say probably at least in the post Attitude Era. There's nothing that really stands out in terms of a multiple month storyline that delivered in the way that Bryan beating Triple H and then going into the main event and winning the title and the whole scene. So,
yeah. And like, I just choose to have amnesia after he won the title. Like, I don't remember anything that happened with him in the championship after WrestleMania. But like the run up to that was excellent. Like the only thing that's even in that league is probably the Punk story. But again, they dropped the ball on that Punk story pretty quickly, bringing in, you know, Kevin Nash and all the stuff with your man Johnny Ace and all that crap.
Yeah. Just reading. So Bryan was on ESPN SportsCenter this evening with Coachman, and he told Coachman that one of the things that's been hard about this is I've had a post-concussion seizures that I've had for a long time. There was never any evidence to see why I would have these seizures, but then we finally found some. So I think that just shows you the type of damage he has suffered in his career. And for the people who up until probably the final moment of Raw who thought this was like a swerve or you're getting worked, how about you step away from your laptop, go outside, experience life, watch something other than wrestling. Because this wasn't I never got the sense that this was a work.
No, me neither. But to be fair, this is wrestling. And we are coming off of, not immediately off of the heels, but the last quote-unquote retirement we had was the great Mark Henry, Sam and Jacket episode of Raw.
But that was all contained with one show. I mean, if all these media outlets, including Yahoo, did stories and Daniel Bryan yesterday, and then we found out that evening that it was a work, it would be the last time these outlets would cover wrestling because it made them all look so stupid. And you mentioned retirement speeches. The one that stands out to me is Shawn Michaels, who that one almost got me choked up because, I mean, I started watching in 93, and that was right after the Rocker split. And, you know, I felt like part of my childhood was gone. I mean, I've watched Michaels ever since then. I was a big Michaels fan. And to sort of see him walk away the way he did, and I don't know. It was sad. So I'll prepare myself to watch the Daniel Bryan speech.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't cry, but I could see why some people would have got a little misty-eyed. But I thought it was you could tell he was at peace with his decision, which was good. You know, his mom was there and Brie came out. So, yeah, you could tell he was at peace. And, you know, it was a rare, nice moment in the WWE. And, you know, I could go on for the next 15 minutes about how they need a union and, you know, why don't they actively try to take care of these people that make this company so much money, but I'm not going to go there, Marcus. We're not going to, that's a whole nother rant for another week.
Yeah. If, I mean, Daniel said he's had 10 documented concussions, many more that weren't tracked.
Yeah.
Or caught. I wonder what the average number would be across the locker room for concussions.
It's crazy. Cause it's like, you know, we talked about the NFL. You know, sports have players' associations, the unions, acting. You know, they've got Screen Actors Guild. You know, they've got their SAG cards. You know, but this business, this form of entertainment that is kind of in the middle of both, doesn't have anything to protect these guys and girls. And it's like, yeah, there really should be something there because it's kind of criminal.
Well, there are two guys that I think of who could, if they wanted to make this happen, could make a change and get this going.
Ironically, one of them is probably related to Daniel Bryan.
Who's that?
Your man Cena?
Yes, John Cena. And the other being The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be somebody big because was it Jesse Ventura tried something back in the day, but never got any traction. Like, it's got to be somebody that carries clout. Can't just be a star to the fans. Cause like, you know, yeah, Daniel Bryan is a star to the fans, but if he had said something like, you know, we really need a union. We need, you know, somebody looking out for us. You know, nobody would care. Like the company wouldn't care. It's got to be somebody that moves the meter within the corporate offices. And yeah, you're talking Rock and Cena.
Yeah, you have one guy who's active in the locker room who can always threaten to not work or walk out. And then you have another guy who sort of transcends Hollywood and transcends sports entertainment and The Rock. So I think between the two of them, they could get it done.
Yeah, because that when he was talking about his concussions and like these dudes put a lot of wear and tear on their body, but and then yeah, some of them get compensated pretty well, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them are working 300 nights a year, and you know they're making a decent living, but you know they're paying the price on the other end.
Yeah, because what you don't need is another Chris Benoit situation where a guy is taking so much damage and it turns south.
Yeah. Yeah, way to bring the show down, Marcus.
I mentioned Chris Benoit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hashtag Bill Cosby is innocent.
That's what's bringing us up.
Because it's Kanye. Kanye always makes things better. Daniel Bryan retired at the age of 34. Like I said, Marcus, like I wasn't the biggest fan of Bryan Danielson on the indies just because I wasn't watching a lot of ROH at the time. But yeah, you can't deny that this dude was really good. And one of the things that I'm glad people got to see once he got to the main stage of the WWE is like he wasn't just a quote unquote indie darling. He wasn't just moves. He had personality. He was an entertainer, and you know, at least for a brief moment, he was a big star that connected with a lot of people.
Yeah. So with Nikki Bella sidelined and probably not or shouldn't come back to the ring, do you think Bree will sort of retire now with Daniel off the road?
She might. Like I could see her doing that. And one of the lines was he said he wanted to have a family. He wanted to start a family. And I'm not gonna spoil the whole thing, but one of the best moments was the crowds chanting yes at the prospect of Daniel Bryan impregnating Brie Bella and his reaction to that. So I think I could easily see in the post-Mania period, Brie Bella kind of, if not stepping out altogether, at least cutting back on her schedule. Because Total Divas will be over by then, right? This run of Total Divas?
It's February?
Yeah.
By April, it should be wrapping up, yeah.
Okay, because that's pretty much the only reason they still keep her on, is to do the cross-promotion with Total Divas. So, yeah, I could see once Total Divas is off for this season, I could see her taking some time off.
I mean, I guess you could still feature both of them on Total Divas, but they can just be home all the time instead of in the locker room.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the Bryan house.
Back in Cena's. I forgot Cena's not married, so.
Not yet.
If you were to go down that road.
It's going to happen eventually. She's going to snag him.
Yeah. I still say no kids, but he'll get married.
To quote Kanye, Cena ain't going to be no chump. I have a feeling there'll be a prenup in that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
So if you ain't no punk, say we want prenups.
You already been through one divorce. And I didn't got twice.
I think that, like, that should make the conversation easier, though, if you've had one divorce. Like, the next wife, you can be like, hey, you know, this is just precautionary.
This is how much I'm paying my ex-wife. Multiply that by two, and I can't afford it. So either you sign the paper or you don't get married.
Yeah, it's like I was talking with my stockbroker, Lil Jordan, today.
Lil Jordan.
So, on that note, Marcus, unless you got anything else, I think we're going to bring this rant to a close and allow you to enjoy the best of Atlanta. And we'll hop back on here next week.
Sounds good.
All right. So do we have a guest confirmed for next week, or is it still not confirmed yet?
Oh, sure. We can shout it out. We'll put the pressure on him.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's leave. That I like that, because that way the ball is in his court.
So when he doesn't show up, you can tweet him and say, "Hey, what happened?"
And we can compare him to Cam Newton.
Yes. How he walked out.
He walked out on us. So yeah. Coming up next week to discuss one Cam Newton will be a friend of the program who last time we spoke to him was on the ground in Missouri, and I guess this time we brought him back for a happier conversation?
Question mark.
Yes, hopefully happier. And it is Yahoo Sports owner Eric Adelson in the building.
Yeah, Eric was at the Super Bowl. He wrote about Cam.
How did you not get tickets to the Super Bowl, Marcus?
I like football, but, well, first of all, I've covered one Super Bowl. One Super Bowl is enough for me. It's a lot of work. And
And you fell asleep during the last one, so that probably revoked your credentials.
Yeah, it was my first week back at work after the surgery.
You can't be like, yeah, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I waited till this week to go to Atlanta. And then C, I mean, in terms of like events I want to cover, Super Bowl would not be at the top of my list. So
WrestleMania beat Super Bowl.
Exactly. So I'm not going to get greedy or try to ask too much. I'll settle for WrestleMania. But Eric was there, and he wrote about Cam Newton after the game, including that his story featured a great headline where our NFL editor, Al Toby, labeled Cam Newton the incredible soap. Maybe on Cam.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good. So was Eric actually in the media scrum, if you will, when Cam walked out?
That's a good question. I haven't asked him if he was there or not.
Oh, so yeah, let's tune in next week and find out. That's a cliffhanger. Maybe Eric was the reason Cam walked out.
I doubt it.
It'd be great if he was, though. Like, we have the biggest exclusive of the week.
It meant for a better story, though.
Yahoo reporter pisses off Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Cam says, I'll never go on the Kings of Sport now.
Oh. Sorry, Cam.
Oh, so yeah, you got that to look forward to next week. Then the following week, I guess, is when we're going to start our Road to WrestleMania series.
Correct.
Yeah, so we don't have our first guest lined locked in yet, but it'll be good. And we've got some other guests, like we said last week, Terrence and Michael from Black on Black Cinema will be joining us in March. So we got some interesting shows planned and laid out for the next coming weeks.
It should be fun. We have some ideas for possible guests for the first week, but we'll figure it out. We have some time.
Yeah. And it's all going to lead up to WrestleMania and the confrontation between Marcus and Big Nasty.
Coming. I'm coming, Alfred.
He's going to walk out the room like Cam.
You thought Grapple Kingdom was intense last year with Court Bauer and Wei Ting.
Yes. Well, now that it doesn't look like we're going to get a Grapple Kingdom 2, this will be the new main event.
This will be the new main event. The people's main event. Vandenberg and Kanawha.
Vandenberg and Kanawha.
Dallas Street Fight.
We got to get somebody to mock up a poster of you and Alfred, like one of those where each half of the person's face is on the other side, like it's half of your face and half of Alfred's face.
Oh, that'd be good. if someone did that poster and we tweeted Alfred, would he respond?
Probably not. I think he is. He is on radio silence.
Will he talk to me in the press box? I'm even worried about that.
Oh, I think he will, because he'll be forced to. But I think it'll just be like, oh, hey, how you doing? And then nothing.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
You should take like a little crew, like an entourage. Call up KME and see if Ronnie can fly out. Well, Ronnie's already in Houston, so.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours away.
Yeah, just make the trip to Dallas and just show up, see if Brother Henry can roll. Just roll up in the press box with the blackest entourage you can find.
Well, I should have Kel Dansby there, so I'll have some muscle with me in case.
Oh, Kel will be there? Okay.
Yeah. So I got some backup.
See if Morgan Campbell can come down.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's going to do it for this week, the special Super Bowl 50 Royal Rant edition of the program. Appreciate you all for downloading the show. And like we said, next week we got lots of stuff planned for you guys. So keep it locked right here to the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport. Before we get out of here, Marcus, where can the people holler at you and give you suggestions of things to do when you're down there in Atlanta?
And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Well, MarcoWill. Looking for tips and suggestions because I made my first mistake in Atlanta. You've been to Hartsfield, right? Of course you have.
Yeah.
So I knew Hartsfield was big. But how big could it be? I've been to like O'Hare. I've been to other big airports. But I decided, you know what? I've been on this flight for 4 hours. Let me walk to Badge Lane. Who needs a stupid train? And just walking and walking. Kept walking. The train's right there. And I was like, that'd be right around the corner, right? Walking. 20 minutes later, still walking. And then finally, at the very end, there's a sign that sort of explains that between every terminal, you got to factor in 5 minutes. And I had to be probably in the next to last terminal. So, lesson learned for my return flight home.
Yep.
Take the train.
Take the trains. So that's where you can find Brother Marcus. You can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook.com/KingsOfSport. And of course, since it is still February, go vote for the Kings of Sport Podcast Lands Podcast of the Month. It's only fair. It's only just. Not doing so would be a crime. But yeah, appreciate you listening. Hope everybody had a fun and safe time watching the Super Bowl. And we'll be back with more of the Kings of Sport next week. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And I think it's time to call this show, Marcus. I got to go and drink some Budweiser's. Go drink some Budweiser's. Because you've been down with the King.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, CosPod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile is in the making. We gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices. Truly wasted.